Welcome to East Meets West, episode 302. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
Do you know that we are now just barely ahead of the Instance podcast in episode numbers?
The one that just started 2 years after or 3 years after?
It might have been. I don't remember exactly how long. It wasn't three. It did start after East Meets West, though. We've been slacking, dude.
Well, it's been very busy.
No doubt about it. Yeah, it's been crazy busy for me. I had to go down to L.A. and find a place to live, and we found a place to live and not to deal with all of the move stuff and changing addresses again and all that lovely,
yeah,
lovely, lovely stuff. I'm getting Verizon Fios, though. I'm excited about that.
That's cool. I mean, is that what's the bandwidth or what's the?
Well, I'm going to be buying the top tier because it's a business expense, so it's crazy expensive. But 300 megabits per second down and 65 up.
Well, that's good.
Right now, I only get 50 down, and I'm on business class with Comcast.
Well, let's see if that Fios actually works out. I mean, it's to make sure like it doesn't just drop or something.
I haven't seen too many negative reviews about Fios in that area, but yeah, we'll see.
Cool. Awesome. Are you excited or are you just tired and you want to get it over with?
I go back and forth. I'm a little tired and just want to get it over with today, but I go through periods of excitement. And it just sucks being separated from Eileen because she's down in L.A. right now. I saw her last weekend. I'll see her next weekend because I'm going down there again to do some stuff, but... Just, I'll be glad when this is all over.
I can imagine. It seems very incredibly taxing.
Believe me, I'm worried about my taxes, too.
Oh, why?
Well, because, you know, it's the end of the year. So I have to get all my tax information together. So there's that on top of everything. Cost of a move, which I guess we can,
Well, if you move in December, you can write it off.
Yeah, it's complicated, though. We're moving in January, but Google pays for the move. So that makes it, they get to deduct the cost of our move from their taxes. You see what I mean?
I see. Well, you can just say like gas. Can't gas be an expense for your move or no?
Yeah, but Google pays for, that's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, they pay for everything. I thought they just did the lifting.
You can they let you expense like any move related costs, essentially. I hope that's not revealing too much. It's cool. I mean, it's a pretty standard thing for big corporations to do when they're hiring people and moving them. It means we don't get to claim the cost on the taxes. So I guess our cost of the move is actually not that high. Cost of the move is really things like, we really need a new couch. That's not something Google's going to pay for because they're like, well, that's your own business if you want a couch or not. Stuff like that, you know, when you're getting into a new place and you're like, you have to change around how we do things.
And then you got to figure out a new routine, like in terms of getting somewhere. Because it's a completely different geographic location and traffic and all that other stuff.
I am a huge believer that moving, there's the conventional wisdom that things like moving add to stress in your life. Moving causes stress because of all of that stuff. It takes 2 to 3 years. I may have said this before. 2 to 3 years before you finally settle down from a move. And it's internal and external. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's the like, how do I get to the grocery store? What's the best route? You know, is that a one-way street? I'm going to have to figure out a way around that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's also the internal stuff. Like when I go to grab a spoon, which drawer are the spoons in? You know, like eventually...
That takes you 3 years?
Well, I'm not saying the spoon itself takes you 3 years to learn where the spoon is. But going from that point... where you don't have to think about anything because you've lived in a place long enough that you're just like you don't ever think, oh, the spoons are over there. You just think spoon and your hand immediately goes for it, right? Mm-hmm. It takes a while for all of those kinds of things to shake out. Not just the spoons, but everything in your house, how your house works, your comfort level there, getting used to the neighborhood, getting used to how you get around to places. I have moved around enough now that I feel like it's about 3 years when you just kind of feel settled. Like, okay, I know everything about how this works.
Well, that's interesting. It takes, generally for me, it'll take about a year, like a year and a half, mainly because I have to go through one year worth of...
I think it takes you longer. I would say that. Have you just moved?
No. I just having based on my personal experiences moving, both as like when I was a kid and just more recent.
I think
as
when you're a kid, you rebound faster too.
Do you?
Yeah. Hmm. Because fewer things are as important to you.
Huh.
And also your brain just works better. The older you get, the longer it takes, I think.
Are you sure you're just not...
I think it takes about a year to feel like, okay, I know where everything is now. I think it takes about 3 years for you to actually just relax. There's a subconscious element to it I'm talking about.
I will agree with you. It'll take about 3 years to make it feel like home.
Yes, that's exactly the feeling I'm talking about.
Where you
about.
Psychologically yeah, feel yeah. that you're... But, I mean, in terms of just being comfortable with the area, it usually takes me about a year and a half.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on both points then. Yeah, it takes about a year to just be like, okay, I know where everything intellectually is. And it takes another couple of years for it to just kind of settle, you know, for you just
like
to
you're
know
there.
All of the things without thinking about them.
Well, I think it's also because then it doesn't feel so transitory. Like you're not just passing through. You're here for the long haul. And
I think that's part of it. You're right.
And it's interesting because as people, especially in today's society where moving is a lot easier than, say, it was even 50 years ago, the ability to move your bank. I mean, 50 years ago, it was a pain in the patookas to move a non-national bank account from, you know, one area to another.
But you had fewer of those kinds of things, you know, so I wonder if it balances out. I mean, I'm looking at this list.
Well,
of
think
all
about
the
it.
Address changes I have to make.
Well, see, that's the other thing. I one of the biggest beneficiaries of I think people moving is just having everything delivered via email, and then like for example, for myself, I have a private mailbox, and I've done that because I moved so many times in the city that it was just easier to send it into one location than to constantly move my address. Now, to say if I were like you moving to a different city some distance away, I would actually still keep that mailbox for maybe an additional half year after the lease expires or whatever, just so all the other mail eventually trickles where it's supposed to.
You know, I might do that, actually. I might get a box that's like near the new place this it's time. Just... I say that every time I move, and I think I've mentioned I've moved like over 20 times in the past 25 years, but I think I will this time just be like, you know what? No, I'm going to have stuff sent to a post. There's a post office not too far.
Well, it doesn't have to be a post office. It's just be like I used to.
Yeah, and if the post office is out of boxes, then yeah, I'll just go to a UPS store or something like
that. Well, UPS is great because then they accept the packages.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I literally have package. I mean, I pick it up at the end of the week, and it might be dropped off Monday or Tuesday, and I just go on Saturday to pick it up, and it's not like
they're
giving you. Well, sometimes they do, but it's not like they give you an attitude for picking up your stuff. And you know, it's a great service. It's something I really, really, honestly, I don't think it could live without one. My dad, for the longest time, kept a San Francisco PO box, even though we moved out of the city, because he wanted a San Francisco address. For a lot of the things he was getting.
But
was,
then there are things that doesn't apply to, like your electrical service.
Yes.
And your trash pickup. You know, those are things that's like, well, the P.O. box doesn't help then. You just have to cancel one and move it to the new one. Of course, when you're moving as far as we're moving, it's not as easy as, oh, hey, PG&E, we're still with you. We're just moving from this place to that place. It's by PG&E. We're Con Ed now. But, you know, by Marin Water, where whatever that L.A. version of water is.
I think it's the L.A. something.
Yeah. Water. It's the L.A. Power and Water Department, I think, LAPWD or something. But it's but then there's also, you know, Audible, iTunes, Netflix, Crash Plan, all your credit cards.
I never understood why Crash Plan needed my physical address.
Well, probably for billing.
Well, for billing, but I mean, at that point, I mean...
But, you know, if they're going to continually... If you have repeat billing, you got to have the address match the credit card.
Eh, well, you know.
My stock plan from CBS, even though I don't work there anymore, there's still stock that I was given when I worked there. and I have to
Still giving you stock?
Well, they're not giving it to me. It's just stuff that I got, and they hold it, you know. The DMV. Any subscriptions?
I don't subscribe to magazines anymore. I stopped all that.
It's a long freaking list. I get The Economist and I get Scientific American. That's the only.
If I were a poor man, I would look at you, Tom, and I would say, simplify. Here's the time to simplify things that you can.
Sure. No, I you're absolutely right. But so that is just the world we live in, right? It's easy to say, well, here's a chance to simplify. So cancel your Audible subscription, cancel Netflix. I mean, is that simplification? No. I mean, that's actually more complicated now because I have to figure out, okay, well, now I want to get an audiobook. How do I get it? I had to pay a lot more, right? Or if I want to watch streaming movies, well, I guess I have to deal with cable, right? It's just the way we've created things is more complicated. There's more accounts. There's more little billings and things. So it becomes, if I want to follow your advice, a question of lifestyle change, not just moving and simplifying, but saying, you know, become a person who doesn't watch television, who doesn't listen to audiobooks, become a person who just, you know, who change who you are.
Don't change who you are for me, Tom. Do it for yourself.
Thanks, Roger. But then there's other, you know, and that's a fair enough point you're making. But then there's other things like, well, I have to change the DMV. That's not simplification. Yeah. You know, my stock plan, if they are going to, you know, suddenly liquidate it and send me the money, I want them to be able to find me. So I want to give them the right address.
It's all, you have to just tie everything to your bank account so you don't have to worry. I would never do that. I'm one of those. It's funny. I'm so against having, you know how like you have automatic, I don't know what we're talking about this, but it's automatic billing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I am so paranoid.
Me too.
I've had so many people tell me like they don't stop charging me. I've canceled the service and they still charge me.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I don't want that.
And there's a reasonable reaction of, well, if you've got a decent credit card, you can tell the credit card company to not accept charges from that company anymore. But that's a hassle, you know? I don't need more hassle. This goes back to that thing about moving, where it's like you have all these little things that build up and make it stressful. I feel like that's just true of life now too. You know, we talk about it a lot in technology, where people don't want to deal with maintaining accounts or reading terms of service or doing this. And there's always some guy in a chat room or something who says, "Oh, how hard is it, you know, to click a button?" To click an extra button to do something. How hard? It's not that it's hard. It's that we have so many more of these little things that demand our attention and time. And at a certain point, they build up and not only take a bulk amount of time out of your day, but also they demand attention. And the more little things that change to demand your attention, there's like a multiplier effect. It's not just the amount of time each one takes, but it's the change of attention and putting yourself like, okay, what is this service and what do they do and why am I looking at this? It's the myth of multitasking, where multitasking usually is not more productive because your brain is constantly having to pick up where it left off when it moves from one task to another.
Yeah, it's, especially as you get older, things tend to get foggier.
Oh, yeah, that just makes it worse. Ugh. I think that's why I feel it more as I get older, because I notice it more because my brain's slower than.
I've noticed, just based, and this is a totally anecdotal, based on our interns, that they're so much more ready or more nimble when it comes to movies. Like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be moving down to LA, or oh yeah, I'm going to be moving to Denver, I'm going to be moving to New York, and I realize it's because they don't have a lot of crap.
Yep.
It doesn't take them much to move.
And they probably don't have Audible and Netflix. They're like, yeah, just I can't afford that.
Yeah, and the stuff they do have, they keep it to parents. And they're going to be visiting them on holidays anyway. So it's not, you know what I mean?
Several of my early moves, I moved by throwing everything in my Mustang. You know, I could not do that now.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just as you get older, you accumulate stuff and you become like Patrick.
Furniture is the big one. That's when you know you're an adult, when you actually have furniture that you can't move in your own car. Unless you have a truck or something. You're like, oh, I actually have a coffee table. I have a dining room table. I have a couch. And it's not a couch I can just leave on the front lawn with a free sign on it. It's a nice couch that I want to keep.
It's like, oh, my God. It's like, you know what? Growing up kind of sucks in many ways.
You know what I have been doing, though? This is a little pro tip for anyone wanting to simplify, because I am in favor of Roger's advice of trying to simplify your life. I get rid of one thing a day.
Like a belonging or...
I find something I don't need, and I'm not talking about like food that's spoiled and I throw it away. That's not. I'm talking about a thing that I just realize, you know what, I don't need this anymore. Sometimes I'll throw it in the trash. More often than not, it's something that I put in a box to go to like a Goodwill or Salvation Army or something. And I've really cleared out a lot of stuff since I started doing that. Because what happens is, on some days you're just really busy, but I force myself to do it. Like, find one thing that you no longer need. And it simplifies the act of doing it, right? If you look at your stuff like, oh, I really need to go through this and just get rid of stuff, it becomes overwhelming. But if it's like, you just need to find one thing, I can go to my CD shelf, I can go to my bookshelf. Yeah, I still have CDs. Laugh all you want. I can find one that I'm like, you know what? I don't need this one anymore. I'm going to put it in the box to get rid of. And then I'm done for the day. But eventually what it does is it starts you thinking about it and you realize, you know what, I think I will go through all those books, and you get rid of a bunch of stuff. Or, that box full of crap, I just need to go through it and toss half of it. You know, all these filing cabinets, they need to be cleared out. And I have ended up doing a lot more cleaning and purging of material objects since I started doing that.
You know, it's interesting because I've been toying with the idea of just like literally getting rid of everything I own except for my hard drives and maybe my camera gear, just because those are the things that I would probably, and my notebook, like if I needed to, if there were a catastrophe, a natural disaster, and I had to leave at a moment's notice and all I could pack was whatever fit my trunk, those would be it. It would be my hard drives, my camera, and my laptop.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much my life right there. Like, all the other stuff is just stuff, detritus, flotsam I've collected over the years. Some of it I pay for. Like, I have this Intuos graphics tablet that I bought at the beginning of the year, and for the life of me, I don't know why, because I haven't taken it out of the box. Uh-huh. It's just stuff like that. It's just, I do stupid crap like that, and I do not know why. It's because I try to... I get so envious of people who say, like, hey, I want something, and they go out and get it, where I kind of, you know, hue and haw about, like, well, do I really need it? Do I need to spend that money?
I know. Every time you need a new phone, it takes, like, 2 years.
I finally got one, and it's taken forever to get here. I bought it from Google Play, and it's, you know, taken 3 weeks or 2 weeks or whatever long it takes. But it's just, I don't know. It's just, as I get older, all those calculations begin to get deeper. It's like, well, did I use that one a really long? Did I use, you know, the early version of whatever that was for a really long time? Did I get much use out of it? And it's just, it's constant calculus of benefit analysis ratio. And, you know, the fact that I got, you know, went to the doctor and all that about my foot.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I guess I have gout. I guess that's what the doctor...
Man, that is an old man's disease.
It is. And it's so irritating because it's not any one thing. It's not any one thing. It's like, it's genetic. Like, diet can change.
Yeah.
But only in 10% of cases does it actually affect the outcome.
I've known people much younger than you who've gotten gout, though.
It's Dan Mitchell, back at Tech TV, was my coworker.
I forgot about that.
He was 31. He had gout.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was doing research, and it turns out to be a more common disease than I thought. It wasn't just not afflicted to the old.
So how do you get over gout?
You don't really get over it. You just manage it. So first I want to try dietary changes. Purines, which are a compound.
What is it?
Essentially, it's a form of arthritis. Because your blood stream builds up too much uric acid. Mm-hmm. U-R-I-C, not urine. What happens is that acid kind of crystallizes in your joints.
I see.
And causing inflammation. And typically, it's in the big toe and that big bony area where your big toe meets your foot.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the common areas, but for some reason, I had it in the back of my heel, and there wasn't really any inflammation. I saw pictures of it. It's like, holy crap, I don't have that. But my test came back, and I was a little depressed. It's a little higher than was normal, so that's what led the doctor to believe it was gout, and as well as all the symptoms and all that. So, you know, I got to cut back on seafood. I don't eat any red meat. I don't drink alcohol. So it's like red meat, alcohol, you know, a lot of junk food stuff. Stuff I don't eat, which are the big ones. And it's like, really? Like, it's like I'm not cutting off the fat. I'm just cutting off the tissue at this point. Spinach,
well, that may be why you didn't get it as severely as other people get it, because your diet already was kind of fighting it.
Well, it kind of annoys me because things like spinach and mushroom and asparagus, foods I love, by the way, are no-nos. And it's just like, really? All the stuff that I thought was healthy isn't so good for me at all. And things like, I can't eat tofu, according to my doctor. No more tofu.
Weird. Wait, you can't eat red meat, alcohol, fish, tofu, spinach, or asparagus?
I mean, I could eat it in moderation, but not consistently.
What can you eat?
I can eat lots of fresh fruit. I can eat certain grains. I can't, for some reason, high fibers are no either.
What?
This is one of the things I hate about, because I asked, it's like, what should I eat? It's like, oh, you can find stuff online. It's like, well, thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
That's what I get for being in an HMO.
Right.
So I go online, and there's all this conflicting information. Some say beans are okay. Others says no on beans. And so I asked Lorraine, our mutual friend, about, like, you know, what size do you trust in terms of
Lorraine's
like,
a nutritionist, so that's a good person to ask.
And so she said, like, the Cleveland Clinic and the Mayo Clinic, going through there, and you know, it's, you know, keeping those things in moderation. It's weird. It's like it's almost borderline starvation for me, because I can eat cheese. Cheese is fine. Dairy is fine. Eggs are fine. But those are all the high cholesterol things.
Right.
So it's like, it's helping me one way, but killing me in another. So it's like, I don't know what to do. So I've basically stuck to eating moderate amounts of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Brown rice, another vegetable outside of spinach and asparagus and peas. Can't eat peas either.
What's it? Like, what is it in those? Because those are all similar vegetables.
It's a compound called purine, which is usually found in high protein foods, which is why it's found in red meat in huge amounts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is metabolized by your body into uric acid.
Ah, I see.
The only other option.
Ducan diet for you.
Well, if that doesn't work, I can take medication. But generally, I don't like taking medication if I don't have to. This seems like a bad way to go. I kid you not. This is my fear: is that there's going to be some sort of apocalyptic event, and all of society falls apart, and it'll be Mad Max. And at that time, no one's going to be making that medication anymore. So,
well, you know what? I've changed my views. I used to be very anti-medication. Across the board. I've changed my views on medication that I don't mind taking medication when it is a compound that specifically treats the underlying problem. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right. In other words, if I have cancer, I'm going to take chemotherapy, because what that does is kill the cancer cells.
Well, kills your body too.
I know it has horrible side effects, but I'm fine with that, right? Also, it's my only chance of living, so I think that's another reason. Maybe that's not such a great example. Aspirin, actually, that's a much better example. If I have a headache, I will take aspirin. I am taking, you know, what is essentially a natural compound, and using it in a way that directly treats the problem. I got a headache; it thins my blood. Headache is relieved. So I'm fine with those. I'm fine with ibuprofens. It's cold medicines and things that are like, oh, you got a stuffy nose, take this. And it's like, I mean, you're not actually treating my cold.
No.
So I would rather not take them and have whatever side effects they are, which can be just as bad as the symptoms of the cold. It's not actually going to help my cold go away. Although some people say, well, if you reduce the symptoms, it's less stressful on your body and you get over it faster. Maybe that's true. And so, yes, if I get like really serious congestion, I will take a Sudafed. Because it's unbearable. But if I just get a little sniffly, I don't go take those crazy, ridiculous cold medicines unless I have to.
Like, for example, I can't take aspirin. Gives me an upset stomach, but I can take ibuprofen, which actually is one of the things that you're supposed to do when gout does flare up, because it's an anti-inflammatory.
There you go. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just...
Because to me, it's like, the way I look at it is like, just because it got put into a pill doesn't make it better than food. Food is medicine too. It's just in a different package. So it's, what is the material and what is it doing?
You've been watching those PBS shows on wellness for senior citizens.
No, I haven't. Is that what they say?
Well, so one of the at least in KQ, San Francisco's PBS, is that it's there's a lot of seniors or more mature viewers, because a lot of the pledge drives and stuff they do, they talk about endowments after you pass away, and you can bequeath your fortune to PBS.
Like, if you don't like any of your children or you don't have any children, you just leave your money to PBS.
Yeah, essentially. And I've noticed there's a lot of shows where there are people talking about health, you know, foods you're not supposed to eat, or the seven foods that will, if you stopped eating, will guarantee that you'll lose weight without drastically changing your eating, you know, all that other stuff.
And so, there's something to that. I think they overpromise when they do those sorts of things.
But they're all very motivational, kind of pitchy style, you know, kind of seminars. And you look at the audience, and they're all like 50 and up.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's when the older you get, the more you think about health, because you have more health problems, and your body starts wearing down.
My dad, if I make it to the same age as my dad, with his condition, I will be very, very good. My family in my immediate family, my sister, mother, and father, he's the only one that doesn't need glasses. He has reading glasses, but he doesn't suffer from myopia or farsight. It's just like, how come I got...
Because he runs a seafood restaurant. It's good for your eyes, right?
Yeah, I don't get it. It's like I got the bad vision, you know. I got the slight chunkiness. Everyone in his family is kind of gaunt. It's just all these weird things. It's like everything. I hate to say it, but all the bad stuff came from my mother's side. Deficiencies.
Yeah, I have a nice mix of faults from both sides of my family. I think I probably got the high blood pressure from my dad. I don't have high blood pressure, like not clinically. I'm not clinically diagnosed, but I definitely have had my blood pressure going up. And I used to have very low blood pressure, and so the doctor's like, "Yeah, blood pressure's getting a little high. You need to watch that. You're not, you know, you don't need medication or anything yet, but watch that." And I have a history of it.
I do too. My blood pressure's like 130 over 90 or something, which is high. It should be like 120 over 80 or something.
Yeah, mine was getting up close to 140 at one point.
But my cholesterol is fine. So I just need, as my girlfriend tells me, I need to keep my rage in check, not fly off the handle. And I think I was at one point seriously thinking about getting a duffel bag just to kind of focus my anger on something instead of just kind of letting it boil.
A duffel bag? Wait.
Or not a duffel bag, a punch bag.
Okay. I was like, you're going to put your anger in metaphorically in the duffel bag? Get a punching bag just to work out aggression. It's exercise.
Yes.
And people often say, because I've been treated for depression, it was a long time ago, it was back in the 90s, but they always say, the first thing to do to treat depression, high blood pressure, and several other maladies is exercise.
Oh, yeah.
If you just start doing regular exercise, a lot of times all of these problems go away because your body just starts to balance itself again.
I'm also severely low in my vitamin D. So
that's because you never leave the house. You need to go out in the sun more often, Roger.
Well, you know, someone told, I think it was Veronica, was telling me that we're too far north of the equator for
really
sunlight
make much of a difference. Yeah.
So I got to take these vitamins.
More milk.
Well, I need like 3,000 IUs, and
I take a multivitamin. I get the chewable multivitamin from Trader Joe's.
Got one of those. Not enough.
That covers all my baseline stuff, but I don't have any extra as far as I know. I don't have any extra needs like you do.
That's only 800 for, at least for me. That's only 800. I need another 2,200 unit.
Well, you're supposed to get it from milk or bread, enriched bread. But you probably don't drink either. You probably don't eat it. I don't eat either one of those myself.
I drink milk on like maybe once a week at most.
Yeah.
And the doctor's saying is like, well, you would need to like eat a lot of those to get the your 3,000 IU units, international units of it. So it's just
supplemental. It's not
just take the supplements.
Yeah.
Because you'll gain weight and look fatter than you already are.
Right.
And I'm 8 pounds heavy, or no, I'm 5 pounds heavier than I was last weighed.
Wow.
I weigh one. The last time I was weighed was back in what, 98? I was 180. No, not
you haven't been weighed since 1998?
2000. Maybe it was 2000.
That's crazy. I weigh myself like. Weighing myself every day for a while. I weigh myself a couple times a week.
I was 183, and now I'm 188.
Buy a scale, Roger. Buy a scale.
5 pounds. I've gained 5 pounds.
Over 12 years? That's nothing.
I need to lose. Well, I need to lose 20 pounds. I don't really trust BMIs. I don't trust the body mass index.
Well, they're gauges.
I know. But
Everybody who's overweight says they don't trust BMIs.
Yeah, but he says I should lose 20 pounds, and I'm looking at my body. It's like, where's the 20 pounds going to come from?
Exercise, dude.
I could, but then I would look incredibly gaunt.
I've lost 35 pounds since we started doing East Meets West.
Were you doing that PX90 thing?
You know, I lost most of the weight by just cutting out any snacks between meals for the longest time and eating fish more often instead of, higher fat stuff. And then after a while, Eileen wanted to do the Doucan diet, so we did that.
What's the Doucan diet?
It's a fad diet. Lorraine hates it, but it's essentially a protein diet, but it's not quite as extreme as Atkins. So you get to eat vegetables. You get to eat at a certain phase later down the line. You get to eat fruits and breads, and he tries to give you a balanced diet. But his difference from Atkins is he's like, don't eat fat. Fat is bad for your health. I don't want you to eat a bunch of fat. So what he's trying to do is just change your behavior by saying you can eat as much as you want of protein. And then after 5 days of that, you can eat as much as you want of protein and vegetables. And you do that for a longer period of time. Then you start adding in small amounts of breads and cheeses, which have fat and this and that. Yeah. Until at the end, there is an end to the diet, unlike Atkins, I think. And at the end is eat whatever you want every day, but once a week, do protein only.
Hmm.
And the idea there is, and it seems to work, is that he's trying to give you a healthy diet, but just change your behavior, get you away from eating lots of empty carbohydrates, and that once a week protein day just resets your behavior because it's like, okay, today I've started to really like gorge on candies, and that one day you're like, no, I'm not going to today, and it kind of gets you back into the habit, or out of the habit, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nutritionists don't like it. They say it's not balanced and it's not right. And the way to actually lose weight is to just eat a healthy, balanced diet. And they're probably right. But
did it work for you?
It totally worked. So I'm not saying that it will work. I heard about it from Marshall Brain, the guy who does HowStuffWorks.com, mm-hmm. On his podcast. And he's a really smart guy, and he's like this is the best of the lose weight diets he's ever seen, and it worked for him too. So I don't think it's right for everybody. I think it worked very well for my wife because she likes to eat meat, and this is the thing that allowed her to continue to eat meat and cut out the things that she didn't like quite as much, and so it was a lot easier. If you're a vegetarian, this is totally the wrong diet for you. I mean, you could do it, but it would just suck.
It's weird because there's so many things you assume. Like, what I was thinking about, like my gout, like all these foods that I thought were good for me were actually contributing to the issue. But things like vegan cheese are really bad. I didn't really.
Oh, yeah. Textured soy protein, which, you know, a lot of vegans have to eat because it varies that ability to take in protein in ways that are tasty. Horrible.
Yeah. It's just, it's vegetable oil. It's just gross.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that you really need to get a better understanding of what are you putting in your mouth. And
that's why the nutritionists always say, just eat a healthy, balanced diet. Burn more calories than you take in. But the key is tricking yourself. You got to trick yourself to do that. It's not as easy as just saying, like, oh, I'm going to have willpower. That doesn't work.
Oh, no, it doesn't. What I did, it took me a while, is like, well, part of what helped me was the fact that I had so many teeth issues, dental issues. I was going to the dentist left and right. Got very paranoid about it. So I started avoiding anything that would affect the health of my teeth, like very carbohydrates, sodas, sugar. So I just kind of started just sticking, because apparently when you drink things like soda or anything with coloring, like tea, it stains your teeth.
Yep.
And it builds up a surface that allows tartar to build up on and then plaque.
Oh, I know it.
And so I was just like, you know, was it like, just give me water. Just give me water. Just give me water. Because I didn't want to deal with, like, going to the dentist and, like, you know, hours of scraping.
Yeah.
And slowly that just kind of manifests itself in what I've eaten. But apparently that was either too good or not enough, because it's affected my foot. And now I'm kind of like, gosh darn it. Can't win. You can't win.
Can't win for losing. Well, Roger, this has been an excellent episode 302. So I hopefully will have an episode 303 soon. But apologies to folks who like to listen if the publishing schedule is a bit erratic for the next couple of months. It's all my fault.
Well, it's that, and we have holidays coming up, and
yeah.
Of course there's CES next month.
I won't be going to CES for the first time in a long
time. Oh, my God, you're free? How did you do that?
I am free at last. Leo didn't want to do a stage. She's like, it's just it's not worth the expense. So we're still covering it, but we're covering it with people who would go anyway.
Oh, nice. That is... God, I want to do that. So I actually look back... And this will be number 11. This will be number 11 for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's just, I was like, I'm done.
I think it would be number 10 for me if I went. But
people on a PhD program are usually done within 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like from.
Well, they have to go continuously, though. They don't go just for a week every January.
But
so you really have only done 10 weeks.
It's true. But man, it feels like years.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching or watching. Thanks for listening. We don't do the video anymore. Sorry. Subreddit.com/EMW, though, is the place to go if you would like to make a comment. We had one commenter last time who suggested the pedantic, what did he say?
Pedantic rat hole.
The pedantic rat hole defense for Roger. I think both of us could use that from time to time. And I believe that could be the name of the show.
Because.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.